Hello, this is Michael Stauffer with LittleShootMatters.org. Today I'm interviewing Steve Ransbottom, who is a candidate for president of the Village of Littleshoot. Steve, welcome here this evening, and why don't we start out by having you tell our listenership, our readership, a little bit about yourself.
Well, let's see, 47, married, four kids, been in the community since 2000, I think it's been. Working currently in IT for Humana. I do side work through Terabyte PCs, a company I own and operate. Mm-hmm. I don't do that as much as I once did, as I got a lot of time tied up working at my main job.
So good background in technology, of course. Weren't you connected with helping put together the website for the Village of Littleshoot a number of years ago?
I didn't actually have any direct building as far as that was concerned. I've had input. I've been asked questions about different parts of things, but as far as building it, no, that's not what I did.
You did support it, from what I recall, and encouraged it along.
Absolutely. I mean, at the heart of communication in a community, you have to hit every opportunity or outlet you can, and I think the web is a huge tool to utilize, and it's utilized well.
Absolutely. Well, let's move on to some questions here about business in the village. First of all, a question about the economy. The economy is on most people's minds right now, especially jobs. According to the Census Bureau, in Littleshoot, one out of every five jobs are created by small businesses with less than 20 employees. Another two out of the five are from mid-sized businesses with 20 to 100 employees, and over 95% of the businesses in Littleshoot are either small or mid-sized. How will you support existing small and mid-sized businesses and encourage the development of new ones?
Well, Mike, that's a great question. I've always been a huge supporter of drawing new businesses into the community, especially as you know the downtown has as many vacant buildings as we do. I think we're on the front edge of a wave that will help move us forward with the coming of the windmill once it is finalized. I think what happens in our community, or what is happening, I think a lot of things are kind of on hold or in a pause mode until that's completed. I think you kind of don't have a true feel to know what to expect as far as tourist volume and such. So I think a lot of your businesses, especially the smaller ones that would entertain that particular crowd, are kind of holding back and waiting to see what happens. And I think often you do see that occur when you see something big come into the community. As far as me, I personally can't do anything, but I'll tell you what I can do. I'll be out there supporting and pushing and moving as many as I can. I will reach out to people, reach out to businesses, reach out beyond our borders and see what we can and can do and see who can fit into this community and what it offers.
Sure. And as a small businessman yourself, you've owned and operated a small business or perhaps more than one. I don't recall now. And you've also worked for some very large businesses, working for Humana, which is a nationwide business. So do you think that background gives you some additional insight into the small and maybe mid-sized businesses and what they're looking for, and maybe talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I've had the pleasure or so of working both as a blue-collar worker as well as a white-collar worker, and then as a small business owner, having the ability to touch all areas in different ways. I think I have a pretty good understanding of what they're looking for, what their needs may be. You know, again, that's only threshed out through speaking to them and seeing what's coming up ahead of us. And I tell you, honestly, through my own business experiences and some things I'm looking forward to doing possibly down the road, I mean, you know, I'm considering another small business in the downtown. In my mind is, how do you, you know, if you're going to encourage it, how do you encourage it? Other than through example, it's in and to itself. I mean, if you could set the example and show what you can do, others may follow that lead. And that's what I'm kind of hoping.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. Next question here is about government finances. When we think about government finances, many of us immediately think taxes. But taxes are only one way to finance government. Fees are another means of generating revenue, and sometimes a hotly debated means. Fees can be paid directly to the village, of course, or to third parties for village-mandated products and services. The same thing, of course, happens at the county level, too. But how do you view the use of fees versus taxes to fund the activities of the village?
Wow, that's a tough question to answer, because, you know, as a resident, I tell you what, my views on either are the same thing. You know, a fee is a tax, and tax is a fee. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. How they apply them? Well, that's a tough one to answer. I see the need and why they apply what they do to maintain the services they do, but call it a tax. You know,
if you can't avoid it and it's a fee, then it's really a tax, that kind of a sense.
Yeah, in itself. I'm sure beyond a shadow of a doubt, any number cruncher would take you to task and what the true difference is. And you know, maybe there really is a deep difference. And, you know, but then again, in the working class, those who look at it, you know, it's all the same thing. How it's applied in our community, you know what? In my experience, having served on a board as a trustee, we have hired some of the finest directors or managers of their departments for a reason. They do a great job, and they're still sitting in those positions because they do a great job. You know, through the 4 years I did serve, there were a few things you call into question and ask, you know, what's this, what's that? And they've got the answer right there in front of you. If they don't, they sure as heck know how to find it. You know, so I think the village of Little Chute and the people that have been put in charge as a whole have done a fine job in maintaining these costs. Fee and a tax, they're the same thing. How we apply them, we're doing a good job.
That's a great distinction, actually, saying that that in the end, the fees and the taxes are all paid for. They're all a part of essentially the levies. But exactly how it's split up, that's something that has to be considered on a case-by-case basis. Is that basically what you're saying?
True. I think it is. And I think, again, I think we're talking fee versus tax. Again, a numbers cruncher, an accountant, you know, we'll discern that difference for you.
And we have a good accountant here for the village.
Yeah. Absolutely, no doubt about it.
That's right. Thank you. Question about transparency in government. Wisconsin's public record law requires open access to village records for citizens, but getting copies of village documents can sometimes be complicated. For example, sometimes information packets that are given to village trustees in open session include documents that visitor packets don't. Also, announcements about village contracts and agreements often aren't widely publicized, and there's been a little bit of criticism on that score. How do you propose making village records as freely available as possible to the public?
Since the going back to the use of the website and the internet. If it's an open record, if the open records law applies to the object, then the object should be available for viewing, I think, through our website. Absolutely, I think so. However, that said, I don't know what it is you may be referring to as far as the difference in the packets, because my impression had always been that it was one and the same. And the only thing that I think that would not be one and the same if there was something that was called into a closed session, which would not be open to public dissertation. So.
Of course. If it's a closed session material, then it's not.
So I guess I don't know what you're referring to, but it's something that you're seeing that may not...
It's just something that happens from time to time. A piece of information gets left out, and that's really just an example of stuff. But what happens, I think, sometimes is that when a piece of information is left out, or with the contracts question, for instance, announcement of contracts, if villagers don't know that something's taken place, they don't know to ask for the missing information. And that
give me
become,
an example, Michael, if you would.
There was a what's the name of that Evergreen Development, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Was it last year or was it 2009? There were some negotiations and some contracts regarding Evergreen Development, and there's been a number of people calling into question, including some of the newspapers, had called into question aspects of the contract. And although I don't see anything particularly problematic with the contract itself, I was surprised to find out about the contract's existence. And then, of course, when I knew that the contract had been signed, then I was able to go back and read the contract. And like I say, there was nothing untoward that I saw in the contract. But that's the kind of thing is if people don't know that a piece of information is available, how do they know to ask further for clarification?
Well, that's a good question. You know, again, that's one of the battles I've seen in any government is the amount of data, papers, files, contracts that go in and out. I do believe things get overlooked at times, and to no fault to anyone in particular. I think if there's a means, and like a large business, in a large business you often find there's always a better way of doing something. How do you know there's a better way to do it? How do you know the problem until someone points the problem out? You know, and I think you bring up a great, valid point. All right, is there a reason why the data is not getting to the right place or the notification of the data is available? Well, all right, so there's a problem. So how do you fix it? You need to apply someone to it to figure out where the communications breakdown is taking place. Now, I call into a problem that I've seen often that we have here is a lack of don't have enough people to get everything you wish and want because we got a huge wish list, you know. And I think that's compounded here a little further because we're a small community looking for every piece of information that we can versus, you know, any place that may be larger. Well, okay, I can filter this out and I can filter that. I can put that out there, but not that out there. It's not the same thing here. You don't have enough eyes going through, well, this needs to go, oh, that can't go, you know, because that's part of something else, you know?
Sure, and that's a good summary, I think, of both the challenge, the challenge, I guess, on both sides. On the one hand, it's good to always be looking at better ways of doing things and be open to possible changes, but at the same time, remembering that we don't have a whole lot of staff people here at the village level, and sometimes there are some things that are not going to be doable because of budget constraints constraints.
It's doable, but it costs money.
Yeah.
Both. Again, my wish list, because I am IT, is like, let's get it out on the web. Well, yeah. I was told, okay, we can, but it costs.
Right.
It costs to have someone put it out there as a cost of, say, another module or something to make that available. So, yeah, there's two sides of that. And I think if people understand that, maybe they'll be a little less heavy on the staff in that regard. But yeah, I think given time we can refine that. Absolutely, no doubt about it. Especially if it becomes one of our things that becomes our main agenda task for a year.
Sure. And again, underscoring that we've got some really, really good people in the village working for the village of Littleshute. Thank you. Lastly, let's just talk about the village's downtown area. You actually already alluded to it a little bit earlier when we were talking about small business and the like. But in recent years, there's been a lot of development, some development along Main Street. But most of that focus has been on the Dutch Boys and the windmill projects. And these developments are both west of the Village Hall. but we have quite a stretch of Main Street to the east of the Village Hall. How do we develop the area east of the hall? How do you think we can keep existing businesses and attract new businesses, perhaps small businesses even, to this area?
Excellent question, because I was asked that a few times now. And honestly, in the back of my mind, and I have addressed some of the business owners on the east side of the community on this, they want to know what can be done. Well, I don't know what the absolute answer is, but I think, and I know there's been a proactive approach in trying to bring the business owners together and getting them to try and work toward that end. But I think if we push it a little harder as elected officials to work with the businesses to brainstorm to that end and find a commonality, something that'll work to everybody's end, I think that'd be great. You know, my wife and I had gone out toward Ripon and some of those smaller communities that way and looked at what has been done in those smaller communities. And I don't think it was Ripon in particular. It was another one right nearby, and I can't think about the top of my head what it was. But each business owner had took it upon themselves to work with their neighbors and see what they're all collectively doing. And they came out of their own pockets and remodeled their fronts and their stores. Hmm. Talk about a beautiful downtown. Yeah. It was amazing to see what they could do collectively and not looking for the handout to do it.
Oh, you interesting.
Know?
Yeah.
So, and this was even under the tighter money going on, you know, for a lot of these places.
Yeah.
They know in their minds and in their hearts the only way to get there is to spend a little, to make a little.
Yeah, yeah. On Monday, a forum for the county executives, and one of the county executive candidates had used the Nestle company here in Little Chute as an example. And he was saying that it, in his view, it isn't enough to just attract business into an area like Little Chute, but to go out and visit, say, Nestle's headquarters down in, I guess, in the Chicago area, and to talk to the folks down there. And, of course, as you just pointed out, our village staff is a small staff and have limited resources, time and energy. Is that the kind of thing, as village president, that you would be interested in doing and willing to do, to go and talk to some of these business leaders, perhaps not from the actual businesses here in the area, and now we're talking the larger businesses, of course, not the small ones, but someone who from Nestle, for instance, and go and actually talk directly to them and represent the village and say, hey, we want even more jobs shifted into the village of Little Chute.
You know, that's a great question. I want to tell you something. As much as I am an IT person, and IT meaning their communications being IMs and emails and text messages, I abhor these things. Because I'll tell you why. The piece of paper that it's printed on does not express the emotion of the person presenting it, nor the emotions behind the community that comes behind it. If there's nothing more that could be said about if it's me or someone else in this same position, it's that personal touch that means so much more to express exactly the desire that you're looking for.
Yes.
You got to have the personal touch. I've always strived, even when I was serving before, to reach out to the community, talk to people, encourage them to call me, listen to what they had to say. If they sent me an email, I didn't respond with an email. I tried to get on the phone with them and say, tell me exactly what's going on. And I'll tell you what, there's some great things resolved in that, in doing that, you know. Well, there's a lot of things a lot of people didn't know that were resolved that way, so.
Well, fascinating. Thank you very much, Steve. That's given me a good insight into your past service for the village and where you want to go in the future. And I'm sure our listeners and our readers will be very happy to hear what you've had to say today. So thanks very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.